Hello, this is Kendra Brodine of WomenLawyersOnline.com, and today I am thrilled to bring you a conversation with Suzanne Hoy. Her full name, Suzanne Herbert Horvitin Hoy, who goes by Susie, was born in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and grew up in Pittsburgh as an only child surrounded by family, including grandparents, aunts, uncles, and cousins. In 1975, she married Emmert Yost Hoy, Jr., who they call Bodie, and they have four children, as well as two dogs and three cats. Susie graduated from Marietta College in 1972 and took graduate courses from 1976 to 1980 in accounting and psychology. Susie started law school at the University of Toledo in fall 1985 and graduated in 1988 with her Juris Doctorate degree. Susie served as a substitute teacher in the Columbus Public School System in 1973 and also taught in various other schools from 1973 until she enrolled in law school in 1985. When she started law school, she drove 220 miles round trip every day for 3 years, totaling 103,000 miles that she drove to earn her law degree. Susie served in private practice from 1988 to 1996 in St. Mary's, Ohio, serving as a part-time prosecutor in Mercer County, Ohio, and part-time magistrate. And Susie, I forgot, you're going to have to help me with this word.
Auglaize.
Auglaize County. Auglaize County. Thank you. She served in a medium-sized law firm of McGuire and Schneider, LLP, from 1997 to 2002 in Columbus, Ohio. Susie then served as staff attorney for Judge Kim Brown, the Franklin County, Ohio Domestic and Juvenile Courts, for 1 year, and she now serves as attorney two for Franklin County Child Support Enforcement Agency, and she served there starting in 2003 and serves there currently. Susie loves her job. She says she loves putting deadbeats in jail. She adores her family and friends. She also enjoys cross-stitching, some reading, more watching TV, and lots of wine drinking. I think we need to hear more about that, too. So welcome to the call, Susie.
Thank you, Kendra. I'm delighted to be here and very pleased that you wanted to hear from me.
Oh, I'm so excited to talk with you, and I think we're going to have a fun conversation here.
I hope so.
I'm sure we will. Well, let's jump right into the questions, and we can learn more about your very interesting background. You're sort of a second career attorney, and I'm counting on the fact that that will come up in the course of things. And I also do want to hear a little bit more about that wine drinking, because I think
we'll get there.
We'll get there. Susie, I'm wondering, just to start, if you were to think back over your life and be it when you were serving as a teacher or now that you're an attorney, I'm wondering if you feel like juggling the various parts of your life, your personal and your professional, is something that you were always good at, or if it's something that happened at a specific point, if there was a sort of pivotal point in your life where you said, I've got to do something different and make this work better. So just tell us a little bit about how you feel you've been at juggling over the course of your life and career.
I think probably had they diagnosed ADHD when I went to school, I probably would have been ADHD. Mm. I've always been able to do many things at one time, and I always had a lot going on, and I don't know why that was. My mother kept me involved in things, but along with school, there was dancing lessons and piano lessons and things like that, and I just always did a lot. I will tell you that work-related, my house is a mess, but my workspace is very neat, and I'm very orderly there, and I have no idea what the difference is other than I think I have to keep it that way at work. Mm-hmm. But I've always done a lot of things and been multitasking, and I think I wanted to tell somebody this. When I was growing up as an only child, and my mother always told the story that if when she was pregnant with me, my dad always said, "If it's a girl, I'm drowning it." Oh. And of course, she said he took one look at you and fell in love. Mm-hmm. And he told me I could do anything I wanted to do that any man did except for stand up to pee. And he said, other than that, whatever you want to do. And so I was always encouraged to do whatever I wanted to try, I was allowed to try. And law school was something that kind of, I think I probably always wanted to do that, but 40 years ago when I graduated from high school, not many girls did that. I went to college because that's what, you know, that was what you were supposed to do. And I think I really wanted to get married and have kids. So having done that, I decided after teaching for 12 years that maybe I could manage this law school. And my husband was very encouraging. I went to law, started law school when I was 35. My last child, the baby, was born at the end of my second year of law school.
Wow.
And, you know, we've had a lot of fun. That's what I can say.
So you said it was your fourth child that you were pregnant with and gave
yes.
birth during law school.
During law school, only missed 9 days of school.
Oh my God.
I had cesarean sections, but my father came from Pittsburgh and drove me for 2 weeks while my mother took care of that new baby at home.
Oh, Susie. Oh, my goodness. Well, it does sound like you've always been one to sort of just make it happen, whatever
yes.
it was and however many things there were, you just got it done and
yes.
made good on it. Well, I'm wondering then, that being said, as you look back and you think about how you've juggled or how you've tried to bring together those personal and professional parts of who you are and what you do, what would you say has been your biggest challenge or struggle in that process?
Kendra, I just think there's never enough time, and I probably never allot myself enough time. I mean, I would always like to stay on the phone a little longer, stay up a little later, do a little more for a client or, you know, spend a little more time with a friend, and times vary. That's the only constraint that I feel that I have, and I, you know, juggling, you know, you have to be able to do a lot of things. I mean, you have to be able to make your personal life meaningful so that your work life is meaningful. You know, what do they say? All work and no play makes Jack a dull boy or whatever.
I think it's
important for me to rest and relax when I come home and do the things that I like to do, which, you know, you wanted to hear about the wine club. That's one of my, one of my Friday afternoon things that I do. There's a local business that has wine tastings on Friday afternoons, and I started going several years ago, and I'm tired on Fridays because I've worked all week, so I would sit on a case of wine and sip their wine and usually do a crossword puzzle because I love to do those. And one day somebody asked me how to make a drink, and I told them, and the husband of the lady said, what are you, like the local sot? And I said, well, pretty much. And then a girlfriend and I went and we bought a table and took it into the place, and they said, why are you bringing a table? I said, because we need some place to sit. So now we meet there every Friday afternoon for a couple hours, and we've really learned a lot about wine in the last couple of years, and a lot of things come up. One of our ladies is a coroner. I'm an attorney. We have somebody else that works for the power company. So we talk about all kinds of things. We call it the wine summit.
The wine summit. That's great. It sounds like you've always found ways or outlets for having some personal time and being regimented, not in a negative way, but really having that regularity of, say, a Friday afternoon wine summit or a way
right.
to connect with friends that gets you out of your practice and out of your work and just into
right.
something fun.
Right. And I do stay pretty focused at work there. I'm busy, and that's a good thing. It's always good to be busy at what you do. I think that's important. And I always do try and help as much as I can.
Susie, with that, having, you know, talked about the challenge and not having enough time and yet finding ways to make that personal life work so that you can make your professional life work, what would you say has then been the biggest lesson? Would it be something related to that, or would it be something different, just a larger, maybe more philosophical way that you've thought about things that has helped you create the balance that you have?
Well, now, I'm not sure about creating the balance, but I will tell you this, that it's something that I've learned over the years is to be kind to yourself, Be kind to those people that you work with. Be kind to the people that are above you. Be kind to the people that are below you. It's always important to be kind because nobody walks in your shoes except for you. And working for child support, I see a lot of people. I see a lot of people that it's depressing, Kendra. A lot of people who have no money, who have no jobs, who have nothing. And I found that if you listen to them, yes, there are a lot of deadbeats, but there also are a lot of dads that are doing the best that they can, or moms that are doing the best that they can, to do whatever. And a lot of times I don't see those people, but I do try and listen to everybody's story a little bit, because sometimes people are good dads, but they don't necessarily have the money to give over. They have the time to give, and they spend time with their children, which I think is very important. But I would say listening and being kind are the things that have helped me be creative and successful, or whatever you want to call it. And like I said, be kind to yourself, be kind to others, and it just kind of works that way.
I think that's so important to both remember, not just to be kind to others, you know, growing up or depending on your religious background, or you're always told, be nice, be kind,
yes,
you know, all of that, which is certainly very, very important and critical to just to getting along in life. But we forget sometimes to look ourselves in the mirror, sort of turn it back on ourselves, and also to be kind to ourselves. And
right,
we're so hard on ourselves sometimes.
I agree with you.
Yeah. I always say you'd never say the things you say to yourself, to your child, or to your husband, and yet we tell ourselves we're stupid, we tell ourselves we're lazy, and we'd never say that to anybody else.
No, absolutely not. You might think it, but you
might think it. Yeah, that's true.
I mean, you know, but yeah. I do think it is important. And to put your needs, take care of yourself first. I think sometimes other things take care of themselves. I do think having a regimen, or a whatever you want to call it, I do pretty much the same thing every day, and that kind of keeps me in, you know, makes me able to get up at 5:15 every morning. And it, you know, of course, I'm not going to tell you I stay up till midnight every night, because I don't do that. I'm in bed by 10 o'clock, but that's also something I need, is my sleep, and you come to grips with all those things.
Mm-hmm.
And just like I said, be kind and listen to everybody's story, because nobody else walks in those shoes except for the people that are in them. And I think you go a long way.
Just being kind and being respectful of other people.
Right. Mm-hmm. Respectful of other people, their space, their time, everything.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, I think I also was taught never to give up. You know, mm-hmm. if something doesn't work one way, you try a different way, and you try to go around things that way, you know.
Right. There's definitely something to be said for tenacity and just keep on keeping on, because life hits you sometimes, and yet we can keep going. And I was just going to say that I think that respect, and as you said, until you've walked a mile in someone's shoes, we don't know. You don't know when you meet somebody, even in the grocery store, on the road. You don't. Sometimes you have
right.
to
you don't know if they had a heart attack. Their mother died last week. There's so much stuff
that
goes on in people's lives, and so much tragedy, really.
That's right. We're so quick
to
judge, even to judge someone's response. You know, we get a curt email from someone, and we think, what a jerk. And yet,
mm-hmm.
you know, what if, like you said, what if their parent just died, or their dog just died, or you know, just got a terrible review, or who knows? We don't know. So
mm-hmm.
to just try to take that step back and be gentle. And then also we feel better. You know, you feel better about it yourself when you don't respond to rage with rage, when you can take the upper line and the high road, and you know that you responded in a way that was respectful and kind. Then you never have to think, oh, you know, maybe I shouldn't have been a jerk back to them. You know, you feel good about how you responded.
That's correct. I think that's important.
Susie, I know you've had such a lifetime of experiences in terms of, you know, your work, too, long and distinct professions, 4 kids, a long marriage. You shared with me that you're 35 years married this year, so congratulations on that.
Thank you. We both deserve medals.
Yes, you do, probably.
And I tell everybody it's a good thing we don't own guns because I think there'd be dead people in the house. But that's neither. Kendra, I don't want to say it's been easy because it hasn't.
No.
I think a good marriage is a lot of work. And I feel like I have a good one.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think it is a lot of work. And it's a lot of work on both sides. You know, believe me, he's put up with a lot too. I put up with plenty. He puts up with a lot also. And we're suited that way, which kind of helps. And again, being kind. You don't know what his day was like. He doesn't know what mine was like.
It's true. And that's, I think sometimes we take for, I know I do, I don't mean to generalize, but
mm-hmm.
I think sometimes we do take for granted the people who are closest to us, like our spouse in particular, and because we kind of generally know they're stuck with us, and I'll take aggression out on my husband. He doesn't deserve it when I've had a bad day, but he's really the only person I can turn to vent
that. That's right.
He's
the only person that won't probably yell at your hitching. That's how kind of
right.
I, but yeah, I know what you mean.
But we need to, but I just have to take a step back and be like, he does not deserve that either. You know, and sometimes I just have to preface, be like, you know, I'm just going to vent here for a second, and I'm going to just sound like a jerk. This is not personal, but I just need to get this out of my system. So if I can even preface what I'm going to do or say with that, so he knows it's not personal, it's not about him, I just had a tough day or something happened, and I just need some place to put it. And then he's actually kind of willing to help me in that way, because he knows I don't have enough, you know, he's the person I want to share it with, but
that's
I have
to
warn him that it's coming sometime.
Oh, yes.
They do put up with us, and we with them, but it's good to know in marriage, you know, as you, with a long marriage there, it can be challenging as well. It's not as romanticized as in the movies or the TV shows, you know, it's work, but anything worth having is.
That, I agree with you. That's like raising kids the same way. You've got to, you know, they get mad at you, they don't like you, but things all come back
around. They come around.
And it works, right.
Exactly. Eventually it all works itself out. Susie, with a long marriage and 4 grown kids, I'm hoping that you have a few tips or strategies, some practical ways maybe that you've found over the course of your life and your work and your career that have worked for you, just ways of doing things, ways of thinking about things that maybe they seem small, but they just made a big difference.
I think one of the things I always think that you always have to be, when you want to accomplish something, you have to be slow and steady. For instance, when I went to law school, because of the driving, I was not able to read everything that was given to me that I was expected to read. So therefore, I never missed a class, and I never missed a chance to discuss with other people what was going on. Now, I don't know what your law school was like, but a lot of mine, they did where they would go down the row. So I would know, like in torts, when I was going to get called on. So those cases, for sure, I would read, you know, the day that I knew I was going to get called. Other classes, they would call on anybody in the class at any time. You never knew when you were going to get called on. And others, you know, you wouldn't get called on unless you raised your hand. But I found just attending class and listening is a real good way for me to learn. And again, that's the listening factor. And I do think that I kind of keep at things if things don't go the way or go the way that I feel that they should go, that, you know, there's always another way to attack and get back in and do that. I think, and you do have to be persistent. I think that's another thing with whatever you're doing, whether it's, you know, raising kids or trying to get somebody to pay their child support. You try and be persistent and tell them why it's important. And like I said, I think never give up, and that slow and steady approach. And the other thing that I think I've learned over the years is I'm not so afraid, something that came with age, I'm not so afraid to ask questions anymore. I used to want to think that I knew everything and could answer everything. I'm not afraid anymore to go say to somebody, you know, look, I really don't know how to do this, or I don't know why this isn't working the way it should. Would you please help me and tell me what you know? And I think that's, I think a lot of people have a lot of information to impart and good ideas. And you pick those up along the way, too.
We can gain so much from one another, be it, you know, in thinking in law school, even when you ask the question, the so-called stupid question that you know 10 other people want to ask but they're too afraid to ask.
Right.
Or, but in life, too, you know, just to find people around you. Maybe you see someone, be it at work or somewhere in your personal life, who has something that you want. I mean, maybe they have a level of physical fitness that you
right.
would desire to have. Instead of just sitting there and complaining to yourself, oh, I wish, you know, I had that body, or I wish I had
yeah.
that. You know, maybe just ask, you know, gosh,
yeah.
what do you do? Do you do, like, do you run? Do you do yoga? What do you do? Because you look
right.
fabulous, and I'd love to get in better shape. I mean, we mm-hmm. can just ask the question and gain the information rather than sitting there stewing in our own juices about, you know,
and absolutely. And that's one of the things I do think come with age. And that's the other thing. I'm past thinking what anybody thinks about me anymore. If you don't like me, you don't have to be around me. And if you do, you're welcome. That's kind of, you know,
mm-hmm.
if you're coming to my house to look for dust, you're going to find it. If you're coming to have a good time, you know, discuss a book, have a glass of wine, or generally laugh and have fun, then
mm-hmm.
you're in the right place.
Exactly. I think that's part of either just age or maturity or even comfort in one's own skin, which some people
yes.
seem to develop earlier in life and some people later. But when it comes, it's such a blessing because you're not afraid to ask the question.
Right.
You're not afraid to make the mistake just because it's okay. And you know that nobody's going to love you any less. Nobody's going to think you're stupid. And you know what? If they do, they probably weren't your type of person anyway.
Yes. Absolutely, that's how I feel, for sure.
Susie, anything else, you know, as we've sort of worked through the questions, but I'm wondering, as you just think about if I asked you, since I'm asking you, if you could share some words of wisdom or any advice with women attorneys, either just coming out of law school or maybe in the middle of their professional lives, what words would you want to share with them?
Well,
what would you want them to know?
I still think it's very much, and not nearly as much as it was 20 years ago, and I'm sure 40 years ago, much different. But I still think it's very much a man's profession. I think that women do bring a softer side to the law. And the other thing I think is that you have to be, being a female attorney, I think you have to be very open-minded, because I do believe when you work with the opposite sex, anytime things get said that can be taken as, you know, taken the wrong way or out of context. And I think that you have to be very aware of what you say and how you say it and when you have to put somebody in their place. But I really think, like I said, be kind, listen to that other person. You usually know where they're coming from. And most people do want to, you know, the other thing that I think that's, I guess, what do I want to say? Oh, I do have a story to tell you. This is really funny, but it's old. I was probably 8 months pregnant with my last child, and I interviewed for a job up in Lima, Ohio, which is like it's not a very nice place. We'll leave it there. But, you know, out in the Midwest. The judges were all, I'm going to say, in their late 60s or early 70s, three of them. The Third District Court of Appeals or some other such thing. In any event, I think they wanted a law clerk for the summer, and I went to interview, and the office was 180 years old with this great big old leather couch, and they all had offices around that with their desks in that looked out. And so they brought me in, you know, the secretary or whatever brought me in and sat me down and in this big leather couch. Now, I want you to understand that I'm 5 foot tall on good days, and I don't have many of those anymore. And 8 months pregnant, which I never was, I always had big babies, but anyway, we did the interview and it went very well. And they told me that I could leave, but Kendra, I could not get out of the couch.
Oh.
And these men were not, it's not the type of men that you could say, here, come give me a hand.
Oh, my goodness.
And pull real hard. So I told them to please go back to their offices and shut their doors. And I promptly proceeded to roll over and get on my knees and pull myself back up again.
But, oh, my goodness.
And I think that's another thing that you have to do, even when you do have egg on your face. You got to be able to roll over, and we all make mistakes. I say that all the time to my secretary, you know. Everybody makes mistakes, and you just got to be willing to wipe the egg off your face, I guess, as the saying goes.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, it happens. And if you can either just be mortified and paralyzed in the situation, or
right.
you can, like you said, roll over, literally or figuratively.
and pull yourself up. That's what you
right.
got to do.
And you can let it destroy you and stop you, or you can use it
mm-hmm.
as motivation.
And I think if you have that drive, I mean, the other thing I guess I wanted to tell you was, now that I'm thinking about it, you know, back in high school I was in, it's something called the Student United Nations or something, and I went to a very small all-girls high school, and we got to go to New York, and of course they, you know, were making, in any event, I was the lawyer from Guatemala, and our goats were eating off of somebody else's, you know, some other country's land. And I think that's when I really got intrigued by the law, because mm-hmm. wondering about these goats wandering around. And also when we moved to St. Mary's, which my husband, you know, went to medical school and worked in the ER in St. Mary's. When we moved to St. Mary's, I was asked to be on the grand jury, you know, as things would happen, you know. And I think that's really what inspired me to decide that I could do this, that I too could go to law school if this was something that I wanted to do. And I think that you should never set your sights too short, that's for sure. I'm absolutely thrilled that we have more than one female on the Supreme Court. I'm sure that I know there are some in Ohio. I hope there are some in Minnesota. And mm-hmm. that's a wonderful thing for women. It really is.
It is. It's beautiful. Our Chief Justice of our state Supreme Court here in Minnesota was just named because there was a vacancy, and it's a woman, which is just so refreshing.
Yes, we just lost ours, and we have a woman now, but I believe there's an election coming up in the fall, but hopefully she'll hang on to her
mm-hmm.
her spot, which is really nice.
Yeah, it's happening. I mean, we're at a point where we can watch it start to happen, you know, certainly with the United States Supreme Court and even with our state Supreme Courts and other state elected positions where women are coming into that equality in terms of numbers that we've been seeking for so long, and rising to those levels in larger and larger numbers. And certainly it will take some time, but when the law school classes are over 50% women, you know, that means that in the next 20, 30 years, it will start to even out just numerically.
Mm-hmm.
At least here's hoping. And I think it goes to asking the question, and stemming from that is finding the mentor, because there are women out there to learn from
yes.
for young women, and to learn how to be leaders as women attorneys and as attorneys out in the field, and that way learn the skills that it will take to elevate them to positions of leadership, either in their firms or bar associations or in politics, whatever they choose to pursue.
Right. Absolutely. I agree with you.
Excellent, Susie. Well, it has just been delightful, and we did get to hear a little bit about the wine drinking, so I'm glad for that. It is more of a wine club than just sitting, you know, than a habit.
Oh, but it is a habit,
but
too,
a habit
my
too.
Dear.
I often say to my, because I do like wine a little bit, and I think, I wish I knew more about it.
And the only way that you're going to learn, we have all decided at our little club that we are going to try this fall very hard to get to go out to wine country.
Mm-hmm.
Just the five or six of us girls.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure how we're going to, I mean, I'm guessing we'd have to fly out. But how we're going to get around, but somebody's checking into this for us. But really, I can tell you this, I can't ever taste, I can never taste something and say, gee, I taste blackberries and peaches or coffee or cigar smoke. But if they tell me I taste it, then all of a sudden I really can. And I am learning things about grapes and so forth, which is, it's very interesting. It's always nice. It's always nice to learn something new. I think, I believe that's another one of my dad's adages. Every day that you don't learn something is a day that you're probably dead. You always need to be learning something new.
That's true. It's true. And when we can combine something like a hobby, you know, such as, you know, wine or things like that, everybody has their thing, you know, certainly in a healthy way, but there's fascinating things to learn about areas like that that are just completely outside of our legal practice or our career.
Right.
But they're just fun, and yet they are expanding and interesting and stimulating. Mm-hmm. So to find whatever that is for each one of us and to incorporate that into our schedule or make some space for that so we have those outlets.
Yes, absolutely.
So much fun, Susie. I thank you for your time today. It's been just great. I've enjoyed it so much, and you've imparted so much of your experience and your humor and what you can share with others. I'm wondering if folks wanted to connect with you or learn about you or anything. Is there any website or email or anything you'd like to share?
I can give you our my county's website is ODJFS. Actually, it's Hoys, H-O-Y-S, at odjfs.state.oh.us.
Excellent. Thank you. I love it when women are willing to support other women, and I appreciate you being that type of woman who's really willing to give and to support other women who are out there as attorneys trying to make a difference and also trying to have the kind of life that they desire. So thank you
again
for everything.
You're welcome.
I appreciate it. Well, with that, we'll wrap up our conversation with Susie. I hope you had as much fun listening as I had participating. And I also appreciate anyone who is encountering these words, be they listening to the words or reading them. I hope you find something that's a blessing to you, that's meaningful to you, and makes a difference in your life or your law practice. So until next time, this is Kendra Brodeen of WomenLawyersOnline.com, wishing you real success always and in all ways. Thanks again for being here. Bye-bye.